This episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast is brought to you by Skillshare. Get 2 months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free. All you have to do is visit skillshare.com/AC. Hey everyone, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I am your host. We are certainly living through unprecedented times, at least unprecedented in the last several generations, right? Many of us around the world, those of us in the US and are newly in this situation, but many around the world have been dealing with this for a handful of months now. We are essentially, under quarantine. I mean, we are in a crisis culturally and globally. And we are at this point, I think, trying to, just process what's going on. I know I am. I'm trying to process what's going on. I'm trying to figure out what does this mean? Where is it all going? How long will it last? What are the next steps? How do we solve for this? I don't know that there is a solve for this, not in the short term. All I know is that throughout history, humans have responded to crises with innovation, with new ideas, with new ways of looking at their circumstances and figuring out somehow how to survive, and not only survive, but thrive in the midst of it. And I'm confident we will do that. It doesn't mean there's not going to be short-term difficulty. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have to walk through some really difficult things in the midst of that. But I am confident that we're going to get through, that we're going to find a way to innovate through this. And on the other side, we will likely come out resilient. Will likely come out stronger because of what we have to walk through. That doesn't make it easy. Doesn't mean it's something we should celebrate. We certainly shouldn't celebrate it. It's not something that's going to be easy for many of us, because we are going to have to deal with loss. We're going to have to deal with loss, maybe loss of loved ones. We're certainly going to have to deal with societal loss of, the way that we've known life to be. And that's just kind of the way it is. And so just as encouragement to you, and this isn't going to be the focus of this episode, but just as encouragement to you, listen, it's really important in the midst of these times to have rhythms. It's really important in the midst of these times to have a schedule, to take care of yourself, to mind your focus, to understand the problems that you're solving each day, to make sure that you're staying connected. My wife and I have done several Zoom conversations with friends and colleagues. I know most of us are probably having remote meetings right now. It's important to stay connected. So we've been doing, a friend of ours, Stacy, has been doing a Zoom happy hour once a week, where we all just get together and we all bring our own drinks and we have a happy hour over Zoom, just to stay connected in the midst of this time. There are many, many things that we can do to try to stay connected. Manage your energy. Listen, if you're working from home, take advantage of this opportunity to be able to sleep in a little bit, to be able to get a little bit more rest. You're going to need it emotionally and physically, just to stay healthy. Stimuli. What an opportunity for us to be able to fill our minds with valuable stimuli. And so if you're in a position where you're able to, take walks, listen to podcasts, audiobooks, fill your mind with valuable stimuli. And then hours, in terms of hours, just use this time to invest in things that you've wanted to do that you've not done. I know one of the things that I do is unnecessary creating is I write music, and I'm planning on using this time to, I'm actually working on writing an album. I'm trying to finish that, and I'm demoing some songs. I'm just doing that just to kind of, because I can't go anywhere, can't do anything. So I'm getting my work done. I'm spending time with the family, playing games, doing things like that. But then, I'm using my excess time to, to do as much unnecessary creating as I can, and try to keep myself engaged and active. So I just would encourage you, friends, listen, we're going to walk through this. We're going to be stronger on the other side. But in the midst of it, how you order your days, how you treat yourself, the kinds of rhythms you establish are critically important, not just for your sanity, for your mental well-being, but for your physical well-being on the other side of this. Now, I also know that there are many among us who may be listening to this and are in really dire straits. And, my heart goes out to you, and I know this is going to be really difficult. We all also need to be keeping our eyes open for ways that we can contribute and help those around us who are in need. This is not going to be some massive effort, like national effort, that's going to do what needs to be done. What we need to do is we need to pay attention in our neighborhood, pay attention to our neighbors. Now is the time, friends, to connect with your neighbors virtually, connect with them. Now is the time, friends, to check in on vulnerable people. Now is the time to, we're going to have to pool all of our available resources to help the people around us get through this. And I know that we will, but we need to. So just be mindful of the vulnerable among us and try as much as possible to be connecting with them and doing what you can to support them. If you have friends in the healthcare industry, please, don't overwhelm them, but please do what you can if you're close to them to check in with them and just see how they are. Allow them to process what they're going through and then provide support for their family, make grocery runs, do whatever you can do to support their family during this time, because it's going to be a difficult handful of weeks or months for all of us. So unprecedented times call for unprecedented innovation. On today's show, we have a friend and a colleague and somebody who I deeply respect. His name's Stephen Shapiro. He's going to be talking about the invisible solutions that are all around us, the ways that we can look at things differently to provide new and exciting kinds of innovations. And don't we need that right now? We need people looking at these problems differently so that we can innovate our way through this. I know that we will, but it's going to be a challenge. Again, this new book's called Invisible Solutions. We're going to be talking to Stephen Shapiro in just a minute. Before we dive in, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Skillshare. Listen, friends, this is a great time to explore new skills, to deepen your passions, to get lost in your creativity, to use the time that many of us have right now to develop your skills. So on the other side of this, not only will we emerge more resilient, culturally, but you can emerge more resilient on the other side of this by developing skills. Frankly, some of us right now are thinking, I need to pick up some like a side hustle gig so that I can make a little extra income because my job has become unstable, right? In the midst of this crisis, Skillshare is a great place to go to learn those skills, to develop those skills, to be able to ensure that you have a variety, a portfolio of offerings so that when you go back and you're going into the job market looking for a job after this, or maybe you're just going back to your regular job, but you want to have a little side hustle so that you can make a little extra money to put away over the next couple of years as things like this continue to happen, Skillshare is a great place for you to develop those skills. It's an online learning community where millions of people come together to take the next step in their creative journey. Thousands of inspiring classes for creative and curious people on topics including illustration, design, photography, video, freelancing, side hustles, entrepreneurship, and more. It's an online learning community that offers membership with meaning. With so much to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives, Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. And the classes are designed for real life. Listen, we can't right now, most of us in the US can't go and take a class in person. We just can't do it. But with Skillshare, you can move your creative journey forward. In spite of that, you can learn and grow with short classes that fit into your routine anywhere you are, virtually, online, on any device. It's also incredibly affordable when you consider it pricey in-person classes and workshops, which aren't even an option right now. An annual subscription is less than $10 a month for access to thousands of classes. This is the time, friends. It is during difficult times that resilient people innovate and often come out stronger on the other side of crisis. I mentioned that I'm working on some music prior to the Skillshare ad, and Skillshare has tons of classes about how to record, how to get better sounds when you're recording, songwriting, playing musical instruments, right? Those kinds of things. Maybe it's something you've always wanted to do. Now's the time to learn it. Or illustration, graphic design. Maybe it's you want to understand how to structure your finances for your business so that you're more resilient moving forward. There are classes about just about anything you would want to learn on Skillshare. Now's the time to do it. Explore your creativity and get 2 free months of premium membership at skillshare.com/AC. That's 2 whole months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free. Get started and join today by heading to skillshare.com/AC. Again, 2 free months of unlimited access, skillshare.com/AC. And we thank Skillshare for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. Well, it's great to have on the show today, Stephen Shapiro. He is the author of Invisible Solutions, 25 Lenses That Reframe and Help Solve Difficult Business Problems. Stephen, I think we have to be careful here because you and I could probably spin off into about 4 hours of conversation about innovation and creativity. And I want to be mindful of the listener. I want to make sure that we stay on topic. But it's great to have you. Welcome to the Axon Creative Podcast.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
So I guess just by way of background, could you share a little bit about your background and kind of who is Stephen Shapiro?
Sure. So Todd, I started off life as a nerd, as an engineer. I was in the math club and things of that nature. And then in mid-90s, I worked for Accenture and I got involved in innovation, which was sort of a weird thing to be an innovation guy as an engineer. And this is what I've been doing for the past 25 years, just focusing on how do we take sort of a left brain approach to driving innovation and creativity in organizations.
Fantastic. And that really plays out in this new book. And I know you've written several books over time, and I've loved your work. I've been following your work. I think even before we knew each other personally, I was following your work with great interest. And I think we even shared an editor at one point at Portfolio, David Moldauer, I think.
Yes.
He edited one of your books. But your new book's called Invisible Solutions, and I love this title. First of all, I love the cover. I love the purple. I love everything about it. But this title, Invisible Solutions, I think is so apt because so many of the things that are tremendous breakthroughs, I think in retrospect, we look at and we realize they were there all along. They were right in front of us. We just weren't connecting the dots. And the premise that you really start with in this book is that what we see is brought into focus or distorted by the lenses that we wear. Could you talk a little bit about that? What do you mean?
Sure. So to me, what ends up happening is when we're trying to find solutions to complex problems, and you know, right now we have a lot of complex problems we're dealing with, we tend to jump very quickly to solutions. We need answers. We need answers. We need it now. And this is a survival mentality. But in order to change and adapt and to move in the right direction rather than any direction, we need to step back and just make sure we're asking the right question. And to me, those are the lenses. And what we need to do is take what we think is the problem and change it, twist it, turn it, and move it in a new direction so that our solutions will move in a new direction. So that's the general premise.
You know, so often, I know you and I have probably both been in meetings. I'm sure listeners have been in meetings before where you're talking about a problem and you're really sort of hashing it out and you're going back and forth and it seems like you're stuck. And then somebody says, well, hey, what if, right? And then you sort of introduce this little twist that makes you look at everything differently. Or they share about, you know, a movie that they saw and how this is sort of similar to the movie that they just watched or something. And all of a sudden it completely opens up a new way of thinking about the problem. And what I really love about what you're proposing in this book is you're really giving some practical, tactical ways to get outside of those thought ruts that we tend to fall into that keep us looking at the problem the same way.
Yeah. I mean, I love your example of, for example, the movie. I mean, that's in the book, there are 25 lenses. One of them is the analogy lens. And the analogy lens comes from the perspective of, who else has solved a similar problem? Where else can we look in order to find solutions? And typically, the best breakthrough solutions aren't going to come from our industry or our area of expertise, but it's going to come from somewhere else. And so, to me, that's one of the lenses. Who else has solved a similar problem in a different area?
Yeah, I remember having a conversation. I share this often when I speak. I had a great conversation with Adam Stelzner, who headed the Jet Propulsion Laboratory engineering team that landed the Curiosity rover on the surface of Mars. And I remember they were talking about how are we going to do this? How are we going to get this, you know, this vehicle on the surface of Mars? Because it was really delicate. In the past, they had used like parachutes and airbags, right? To land the Curiosity rover or to land other vehicles on the surface of Mars. But they realized like it was too delicate to use that technology. And so they thought, well, how do you transport you know, other kinds of delicate things like grand pianos. Like if you had a grand piano and you had to move it from one apartment to another, how would you do it? And they're like, well, we'd use a crane. And so they, you know, were thinking, well, we can't rent a crane on Mars, but they're like, what if we invented a sky crane, right? And it was that leap that allowed them to invent this technology that basically allow them to lower into the atmosphere of Mars, and then a tether, like a crane, basically lowered the Curiosity rover, landed it on the surface, and then sort of cut, and like the landing vehicle flew off and crashed. But just it was stopping to think, like, how else have others done this that led them to a place where they're like, you know, oh, well, what if we did something similar but like slightly different? And I think that has paid dividends. I know so many times in you know, in my life, and I know in the work that I've done with organizations, and yours as well. Do you have a favorite example of how that's played out for a company or for an organization that you've worked with?
Sure. I have so many stories that I love. One of my favorites, though, shows how someone you wouldn't think would be in a position to save someone's life can actually do it. And it's an organization called Pumps and Pipes. So Pumps and Pipes is a group of cardiologists who get together on a regular basis with people from the oil and gas pipeline industry. And so they're talking about the cardiovascular system and how it might apply to the transmission of gas and oil and vice versa. And what I love about this group is it's not two randomly put together groups. They're actually purposefully put together because they're all about movement of a fluid through a tube. And one of the stories that I think is just so amazing in terms of the types of solutions that could get developed is there was a cardiologist who was trying to solve the problem of blood clots. And he's having a conversation with an oil pipeline engineer. He said, look, in the body, we get a blood clot, goes to the brain, we die, we have a stroke. We don't have a way of actually filtering out and breaking up blood clots. Do you have a problem like that with oil pipelines? And the guy looks at him and says, yeah, absolutely. We call it sludge. And sludge is when it just gets dirty and clumpy and clogs up the pipelines. And this oil pipeline engineer had developed a filter that would capture and break up the sludge. And they partnered together and created something called the Greenfield Vena Cava filter, which is a filter that goes inside of the body that breaks up these clots. Wow. And I was giving a speech recently, and a guy in the audience came up to me afterwards and said, I'm alive because of that device. So an oil pipeline engineer saved someone's life.
Love that.
I think it's fascinating.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And those opportunities are all around us. You know, that's what's incredible about it is that we get trapped into rut. So I want to talk about, there are four general categories of lenses that you introduce in the book. The first one is reduce abstraction. Could you give us an example of that?
Sure. So reduce abstraction deals with the fact that as human beings, we tend to ask questions that are very broad. And what I mean by that is if we ask, let's say we're in a brainstorming session, what we'll typically do is we'll say, how do we improve the business? Or how do we increase revenues? Or how do we deal with a tough economic condition? And the problem is when you're asking questions that are big, broad, and abstract like that, you invite a lot of wasted energy. So if I were to ask you how to improve the business, you'll get thousands and thousands and thousands of ideas, which based on my experience, typically 1% to 0.1% of those ideas have any value at all. So the reduce abstraction lenses are designed to help take a big, broad, abstract question, break it down into smaller components. So for example, there's the leverage lens. And the leverage lens says, what's the one factor that has the greatest impact on this? If we could only solve one aspect of this problem, what would it be? Because it would give us greater results with least amount of energy. There's the deconstruct lens, which is, okay, if we don't know what the leverage point is, but how do we break it down into parts? It could literally be parts, like parts of a car. It could be steps in a process, or it could be customer segments, but it's breaking it down into smaller, more digestible pieces that give us a higher likelihood. And there's five lenses for each of the categories.
That's great. Okay. So, well, let's talk about some of the other categories, because I think these are, you're just giving people like the ability to understand like how all of this works together. I think really, I mean, that alone is sort of something that I think a lot of people haven't ever considered. You know, I mean, I think most people solve problems by trudging ahead, by trying to make the next intuitive connection. And sometimes we have to sidestep those intuitive connections to get to the really non-intuitive, but really, you know, valuable insight. So the second category that you talk about is changing perspective. Can you tell us a little bit about what that means?
Sure. So changing perspective just basically means how can we look at this problem from a different angle than we might have in the past? You know, for example, you know, what we tend to focus heavily on what are good ideas, but in some cases, maybe the best solution to a problem is to focus on what's a really bad idea, or like the change perspective. My favorite of the change perspective lenses is actually resequence. And what resequence means is we tend to assume that the problems we're trying to solve have a particular timing associated with them. So for example, somebody goes into a store to buy paint. In the past, the paint would be pre-mixed in a bunch of different colors, but what they did was they resequenced it. They postponed the decision on mixing paint to the last minute. So when somebody walks in a store now, they can get any color combination they want, and it gets created at the last moment. So we can predict, we can postpone, we can do things in parallel. Each of those give us a different perspective on how we might operate a particular situation.
Yeah, oh, that's so good. That's so good. And you know, again, just like we tend to get stuck with thinking about the problem a certain way, we tend to get stuck within our own framework, our own perspective. Or sometimes, you know, we become so microscopic in how we're thinking about it that we can't get outside of our own head. And so the next category you talk about, Stephen, is increasing abstraction. So we had reducing abstraction. Now we're talking about increasing abstraction. So what does that look like?
So increasing abstraction is to basically say that sometimes when we ask questions, they're so narrowly defined that the odds of finding a solution are slim, because either it's very narrow and it assumes a particular area of expertise, or it's really a solution masquerading as a question. So the increased abstraction lenses are designed to take something that's too specific and make it less so. Hmm.
So what would be an example of how we could increase abstraction?
Well, so I'll give you just two quick examples, because we already talked about the analogy lens, right, which is asking who else has solved a similar problem. If we assume the problem is about cardiology, well, what's an analogous situation? Well, other people who move fluid through tubes would be oil pipeline engineers. The other one, which I like, is sort of a weird one, but it's called hypernym. We know synonyms. Synonyms are basically words that are similar to other words. Well, a hypernym is a word that's similar to another word, but it's at a higher level of abstraction. So for example, a hypernym for chihuahua would be dog, and a hypernym for dog would be animal. And sometimes when we raise that level of abstraction, it opens up new opportunities. So for example, when I was working on this book, I actually applied all the lenses to the process of writing the book. And what I realized was is book, if I used a hypernym for book, it's product. And it's like, okay, well, maybe I'm not creating a book. Maybe I'm creating a product. Well, what kind of products could I create? And then I started coming up with new ideas and new ways of developing a suite of products that support the book that aren't just about the book.
And so you're basically moving to higher and higher levels of categories. Now, at that point, let's say that you do that. You extrapolate to these bigger categories. Is there a point at which then you want to begin to drill down again? You want to reduce abstraction. Like, how does that work? Does it work together with the reduce abstraction lens? So you get bigger and bigger in terms of how you think about it, and then you begin to drill down? Or how does that work in terms of process?
Absolutely. Let me give you a quick example here. So some work that was being done in the UK for the government, they were looking at the education system. And so the first step in looking at the education system was we used one of the increased abstraction lenses, which is the result lens. Because sometimes if we get very caught up in the process, we lose sight of the result. So in this case, the result of the education system is a child's learning. So that was the outcome. That was the goal. So instead of focusing on teachers' pay, classroom size, technology, infrastructure, and all of that, it was really about the child and their ability to learn. And then the leverage lens was used, which is a reduced abstraction lens, which is to say, okay, well, what's the best way to improve a child's learning? What's the one factor that we could focus on? And in talking with scientists, it was discovered that a positive parental involvement. When a parent is involved in a positive way, it is the best way to get a child's learning improved. And so when the question was asked, how do we get positive parental involvement, a creative solution was found in Bogota, Colombia, and that solution was taken and adapted and evolved to meet the situations of the UK. And so, yes, questions beget other questions. Lenses are used not just once and then you're done. It's actually multiple lenses, and you can increase abstraction, decrease abstraction, go sideways. That's really the beauty of all this. It's, as Mark Twain would call it, it's a mental kaleidoscope. It's basically taking all different colored pieces of glass, as he would say, and turning them till we see new combinations.
I love that. I love that way of describing it. All right, let's talk about the fourth category, which is switch elements. What does that look like?
So some of my favorite examples come from the switch elements. And basically this means is instead of solving for one factor, we solve for a different factor. One of the stories that I love to tell is about baggage claim, where one of the things they found was, I'll tell the super duper short version of it, but sure. Airport was trying to speed up the bags, spent a ton of money getting faster conveyor belts, more baggage handlers, new technology. And they sped up the bags to the point where they improved the speed by 50%, but passengers were still complaining about how long it took for the bags to arrive. And what they realized was at this airport, the bags only took 8 to 10 minutes to get from the plane to the baggage carousel, but the passengers only took 1 to 3 minutes to get from the plane to the baggage carousel. So instead of speeding up the bags, they slowed down the passengers. And that's the flip lens. We're flipping it, and that instead of solving for the speed of the bags, we're solving for the speed of the passengers, because wait time is made up of speed of bags and speed of passengers. And there's just so many really cool examples of where you just change your focus onto something different. You flip your perspective and it opens up a whole new range of opportunities.
That's good. That's so good. All right. So I want to talk about applying this to our current situation just a bit. As we're recording this, I don't know, people may be listening to this 5 years from now and say, what? Corona? What? Coronavirus? What are you talking about? But I mean, we're in a situation right now where, you know, much of the world is on lockdown because of the coronavirus. And this virus is kind of spreading, you know, throughout here in the U.S., but obviously globally, it's spread in much greater degree to this point when we're recording this. And, you know, a lot of people are starting to think about their work, you know, their job. Like, we've had to adapt to new ways of working together. How might someone apply these principles, Stephen, these invisible solutions to, you know, maybe adapting to a sort of a new work environment, right? Or maybe trying to figure out, like, how do I now switch up my life, my career, in order to be able to deal with this current pandemic?
Yeah. And to me, you know, the reason why I wrote this book wasn't because of obviously this happening right now. Sure. The book came out right before it all started to sort of land on us. But the book was written to help us solve difficult business problems. And there's not too many problems that we haven't been able to solve using this. It just takes a little time and a little practice. So I'll just choose one lens and we can riff on one lens. Great. Just to show how one lens works. And I'm going to use the reduced lens. And the reduced lens basically says, how do we sort of reduce our expectations? How do we reduce the way we look at it as a way of maybe increasing the results? Now, we can reduce, I mean, sometimes in times of tough economic conditions, we're looking to reduce spending. And that's the sort of the easy, obvious way to go at it. But I'd also want to look at it from the perspective of how do we potentially, as a strategy, reduce how often we get together, how many customers we even want. Maybe our new strategy isn't to have millions of customers, but it's to have thousands of more profitable, more powerful customers. So this is a great time to step back and ask some of these tough questions, because a lot of times we're always asking more questions. And I love the perspective. The author of The Little Prince once said, paraphrasing, he says, perfection is not attained when there's no longer anything left to add, but when there's no longer anything left to remove. And I love this perspective, because sometimes simplification is the best innovation. And I think one of the things we need to do right now is actually not add more noise, add more offerings, add more things, but actually, what can we step back and reduce? How can we focus? How can we get that perfection by removing what doesn't add value? So between the reduce and the eliminate lenses, I think it's a very powerful time for us to ask some of these tough questions and then reinvent our businesses and our perspectives.
Yeah, I think that's so good because I think in times of, you know, relative abundance, which frankly we have been for a number of years now, you know, things have basically been up and to the right. I mean, not for everybody, but for most industries and most sectors, it's up and to the right. And you know, during those times we get sloppy, right? And we start to develop a little bit of excess, a little bit of waste. And it's during these times when things become uncertain and a little bit lean that we can start saying, okay, how do I reduce the complexity? How do I focus more? How do I abstract and start thinking about new potential verticals for what I do? You know, it's as much as it is a terrible, terrible time right now, it's also, I think, a good time to stop and to reflect on where things go forward and hopefully be in a stronger position, you know, 5 years from now than we are now. But that doesn't make it any easier in the moment. But to your point, you know, we have to perceive everything as an opportunity. And you know, the worst thing we could do right now is just sort of sit around and I think wait it out and just see what happens. I think now is a time when we need to be reassessing and thinking, okay, how can I leverage this time to become leaner and meaner and stronger and more focused and more productive on the other side?
I totally agree with that. I think that what happens is in tough economic times, companies and individuals tend to retreat. And this is the time, and I'm not saying like for my business, certainly things have dried up, don't have the financial ability to continue to invest at levels that I have in the past, but I have more time. And so instead of just sitting back and saying, okay, I'm just going to go into seclusion and ride it out. No, I'm doubling down. I'm working more than I've ever worked right now because I think that it's necessary for us to work more. But coming back to the reduced lens, one of the things that I'm trying to focus on is not creating more, but paring down. I think the more we become masterful at simplifying, the more powerful our message is, the more impact we will create. And I think in the long run, it's best for all of us.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, Stephen Shapiro is the author of Invisible Solutions, 25 Lenses That Reframe and Help Solve Difficult Business Problems. Stephen, if people want to come find you online, where can they find you?
You can go to steveshapiro.com. And if you want to learn more about the book, it'd be invisiblesolutionsbook.com. There's some cool videos there and other materials that you might find interesting.
That's fantastic. Well, Stephen, thank you so much for taking the time to be like so practically share so many ideas and tips and tools with us today. I know people are going to just walk away from this podcast probably thinking differently about what they do. So thank you for being with us today.
Thanks, Todd. Appreciate it.
And as always, friends, thank you for listening. If you like this episode, make sure you subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or at accidentalcreative.com. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. Stay healthy, friends.